Hey folks, in this interview, I get to sit down with a 24-year Navy SEAL veteran and photographer, Darren McBurnett.
This is TWIP.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. I'm your host, Frederick Van Johnson. This is going to be an interesting interview. As many of you know, I'm a U.S. Air Force veteran, 8 years, but nothing that I ever did in the Air Force, and I was a combat photojournalist in the Air Force, but nothing that I ever did in the Air Force comes close to what my guest today has done in the Navy as a Navy SEAL. We're going to talk about that. We're connected on many levels. He's like my brother now. You're my big brother. Yeah. So we're going to talk about photography. We're going to talk about his experiences being a photographer, being a Navy SEAL photographer, and getting some of the shots that some of us just dream about getting. We're also going to talk about this thing right here, Uncommon Grit. So this is a book that he just published that has a bunch of the photos that he took on that journey throughout the years. We're going to talk about all that. All that's coming up right now. MCB, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You know, it's like, you know, and we get to work with the Air Force again. Yes.
Exactly.
I love those guys, man. That's, I tell you what, to be going to the Air Force base is awesome, man. Those guys... Yeah, like I said, we were talking about earlier, it's like all we do is, you know, we're on deployment. All we want is the damn cheese tortellini MREs. And then you go to Air Force Base and you go and do, you own their dining facility and they got damn Pop-Tarts, they got donuts, they got breakfast sandwiches. I'm like, wow, we chose the wrong service. Look at us.
Hey, life was hard for us back then, man.
I know. It's like, God, damn you guys.
You know, we could never get the steak exactly right. I don't understand it. It was, I asked for medium rare and it's always medium. I don't understand it.
I know. Like, we show up and we're like, hey, what can we get for this really cool Navy SEAL dive knife? And like, wow, a 72-inch plasma screen. Okay, sold.
That's crazy. But I want to dive into this stuff, man.
Work with the Air Force, the PJs was just a fantastic. And those, they're, you know, what they did, they're just phenomenal people. So, you know,
yeah,
it was, yeah. It's great to be working with you on the other side with photography, which is really
cool. And here we are, right? Who knew? Yeah. So I keep this book is part of my permanent collection now. So thanks again for sending it over. Amazing. So let's talk about first. Before we dive into the book piece of this, give us kind of the overview of your journey from, you know, not knowing anything about photography to publishing an amazing book. Like, what was that journey? Man.
That, you know, it's really very, very, very unique journey. It's just that it started with, I graduated SEAL training in 96, class 208. From there, I went to SEAL Team 2, did a bunch of deployments with SEAL Team 2, 4. We created SEAL Team 10. So that shifted me over to SEAL Team 8. But they were talking about like Liberia, were Afghanistan, Iraq. So it was like 4 or 5 combat deployments even before I got a break. And when I got a break, that's in the Navy, unlike the Air Force. I don't know the Air Force's rotation, but the Navy break is 5 and 2. So it's 5 years deploying, 2 years at an advanced training command. You know, get your senses back together, train, and then get back out there. For me, it was 10 years, but then when I got back out there, I got sent out to military freefall school in Arizona, and it's a joint command. So we're there with like Army, Navy. With that, you know, that's where my journey began. So this is like 2007, and you know, to actually even be out there teaching freefall, it's like I was already a Navy SEAL for 10 years. I had to be a basic airborne qual, which is your static line, basic military freefall qual, basic static line jump master, military freefall jump master. And then when I got out there, I ended up being a military freefall instructor, a military freefall instructor examiner, and an accelerated freefall coach, accelerated freefall instructor, S&TNA. So like basically all the quals for air, and then everything. Now you're jumping out of a C-130 going at 16,000 feet with new operators that never jumped before, and you tap them on the shoulder and they jump out, and my job is to just hang with them and just fly with them, make sure you don't screw up, get them back straight, whatever they need to do, and then make sure they pull and go from there. And then I started doing video, because video is the only way you're going to learn in military free fall, because you can't see what you're doing because you're free falling. Some of these students are all over the place, you know. And so you do the video. But one morning, it was really, really early. I don't know what it's – I think we were trying to beat some weather pattern that was coming in. And we were like literally – the ramp was open and like probably 5 a.m. just as the sun is like creeping up. And the whole desert was just like beautiful. It was like reds, yellows, oranges. And I was like, man, somebody should take a picture of this. This is really freaking cool. And then I'm like, well, I guess I should figure that out, you know?
Look at this so, amazing world around me.
Yeah. And so that's, so I started just Googling, like I went to Dr. Google, hey, photography, you know? And then that started my journey. And then, you know, it just, you learn and then I'd go to Barnes & Noble. As a matter of fact, when I went to Barnes & Noble, I'd have my old SEAL Team 2 dive log from my last combat dives that I did. And I went all the way to the back, folded the page. I sent my kids over to the kids section. You know, and I sat there and like digital photography, open up books, going like, wow, this is going to be interesting. And then I'd literally like take notes, you know, and then put the book back. You know, I'm that guy. Sorry, I'm that guy. I was well at that time. You know, as I, you know, I'm in the military. I have three kids. You know, with that you're obviously for me at that point in my life was, you know, unhappily married. So to me, it was I was broke. And like I couldn't afford any of that stuff. Even though the book was like $25, I'm like, well, I got to take my kids to, you know, to the movies. So I'm like, anyway, long story short, I write down. That's what I did. Yeah. You know, I'd study stuff. I'd Google stuff. And then like what I found in my journey was like, well, I definitely can't afford a camera, but every article that I read always led to the digital darkroom. Everything was about, hey, you do this setting, but in digital darkroom, this is what you need to do. This setting here for white balance, you'll fix that in camera raw. This is the color settings. This is your Kelvin. This is what it needs to be. And I'm like, what the hell is all that? So I'm writing it all down. And then I got really, really smart because I didn't have a camera. I really, really studied the digital darkroom side because that's all I could do. I'm like, okay, that's literally all I could do. And I remember buying a intro to Photoshop on eBay. It was like $4 for the 7-disc series on CS when it came out. It was like Elements and CS back in 2007. And that's what I started. I got practice files and I went with practice files. And, you know, I did this for probably like 7 months. And it got to the point where, I mean, like I already had a digital workflow, which was great. I knew all about it. I mean, I learned all sorts of lessons. Then I went into lynda.com, started learning all the things. I was like, you know, so I got to be pretty proficient in photo editing and never even took a damn photo yet.
That's crazy. So you self-taught. You taught yourself all this stuff. You were learning. Let me make sure I got this straight. So you were learning all this techniques and all the post-processing and digital darkroom stuff while you were still doing the main mission, right? So it wasn't like, hey, let me take a couple months off and learn photography. You were learning to ride. You were learning to ride the bike while you had a destination to go to, right?
Yeah, it's exactly right. I mean, so what I would do is I would take notes on little index cards, because that's how I learned, is flashcards. And then I would write down like something simple, like literally it's like, okay, like a menu item, or it's like, okay, healing tool, shift, that goes all the way down to like the healing tool menus and how you want to switch it. Hey, it's like alt click, boom, this is what you need to do. This is how you feather your brush. This is how you harden your brush. You know, just little things like that. You know, I went through and I put it on an index card. And I'm literally sitting in the back of the C-130 waiting for my stick to go. Now, and C-130 got basically four sticks. Each stick is going to go out. This like stick is like 17 guys. They're all jumping out of the aircraft. 10-minute loop around. Okay, everyone landed. We're good. Next stick. So you're up there for 40 minutes just doing like gator turns. You're like, okay, well, shit, that's, you know, that's study time for me. It's like I'd pull out my freaking note cards. I'm like, okay, phew. You know, okay, this is, you know, if you press X, this switches the brushes to black and white. Okay, boom. You know, okay, this, you know, Alt 0 on the on the Photoshop on your background layer. Boom, that turns it to its own layer. Boom. You know, Delight's just an example. It's like, that's how I learned.
This is a plane. This is in the back of a plane.
We're like the 17, C-130. Like the ramp's open. People are jumping out, you know, jump master's yelling, and I'm with my students or actually whoever's going to video with that instructor. We talking shop, and I'm just sitting here going, okay, bam. All right, here we go. Okay, crop resolution. Yeah, I got that. Blah, you know, and literally that's what I'm doing in the back of the C-130. And of course, now time to jump. It's like I unzip, get a little pocket in there, put it back, zip it back up, you know, put everything on, you know, put my videos, press record, stand up, you know, because I have to go out first because I'm videoing. So I'd tip out. And just like I'm looking at you, like you're the student, you're the instructor, you know, so I'm off to the like, I can't drop to the right, and I'll just stand on the edge, you know, and I'm barely touching him. And as soon as he taps on my shoulder, I just jump out, you know, kind of like Patrick Swayze just going out, and I just video, turn, you know, go and, you know, and video and then land. And that's then I'd get crazy. Done and then get in the bus, go back and then get back up the plane, pull out my car. It's like, okay, what am I learn now? Okay, dodge and burn. Here we go. Threshold of noise reduction, blah, you know, that's how I learned, you know, and yeah, so yeah. Without a camera.
Yeah. And that's the best way to learn. I mean, well, the best way to learn is with a camera. But when I was learning photography, I spent like the better part of a year without a camera. They wouldn't even give me a camera. You know, it was literally light and exposure and understanding shadow. Yep. And then everything you're talking about, we were learning and sort of understanding. This was, back in the film days. So we're doing all that darkroom stuff too.
Oh
so
my it was, God. Yeah, that's the real hard stuff. It's like, so it's like, healing your faster. So I'm on lettuce. Pretty soon I'll be on tomatoes. Then I'm going to be on fries, you know?
But it's exciting though. Like if you weren't interested in this stuff, you wouldn't have done it. Like if it was forced upon you. So talk about like, you were one of the few people and correct me if I'm wrong. One of the few people, if not maybe the only person that had that kind of unprecedented access into Navy SEAL training, right? Yeah. To get behind this. All of us, you know, other branches of military included, have our own perceptions of how hard that is and how it's like, you basically have to be Superman or the Hulk in order to get through that training. You were shooting it. So talk about that. How did you get that level of access?
Yeah, it was, fast forward a little bit. I finally got my camera, you know, it was a Canon 30D. And it was really weird when I started it because it's like, oh, I know all this stuff already. So I sold I'm a nerd. So I collected a bunch of comic books and things like that. I sold them on eBay and I finally got my camera 30D, you know, I was like a mad scientist. I was drilling holes, going to Home Depot, getting washers and everything, and just getting it on there, fusing the, your shutter release, remote, like the wire would go up my sleeve all the way up here, you know, it was up here. So you had your camera and your video on the side, you know, and you have your eyepiece. And so you bounce them all out to make sure the camera and the video camera both saw the same thing when you were flying. Yeah. And so it got really exciting. You know, that's when I finally taken my first pictures, my first images, which was kind of weird because the first thing I did when I got my camera, you had all these settings, but all I knew was like, hey, I need to put this on, I need camera raw. And I need to put it on TV because I need to set my shutter speed at like a 100. And then it was weird screen. It's like, I didn't understand. You'll love this. When I put it on, I didn't understand the back of the LCD screen because all it showed was this big image. I'm like, where's my menu? I need to see the histogram. Because I remember I spent like 6 months learning a digital darkroom and everything else. And so I finally found that menu where it showed me the histogram. Cause that's what I knew. It's like, you know, which is weird. Cause I can read numbers and everything else. Like, okay, this is where I know. So anyway, I just wanted to say, I'm finally capturing images, and I sent you a couple, and it was really, really cool. And then, so let's just fast forward a little bit. My reputation started to catch up with me that, hey, McBee, not only is Navy SEAL, but he actually takes a good photo or two. I'm like, yeah, cool. So I did a bunch of things. And then finally, at the end of my career, I ended up being an instructor at our SEAL training. And then at BUDS, basically one demo SEAL training out in Coronado as a SEAL instructor. And then one of the askings was, and I had leadership, which is great leadership, and they had a great a vision. It's like, hey, we want to redo all of our photos for all around the compound, over at the center, over at Warcom, over at SOCOM too, which is all, you know, this, if anyone's listening to this, this is all military big bases. They just wanted new photographs, you know, for to update the walls and everything else, kind of show what it's like for to go through SEAL training. And, you know, I was tasked with that. And so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. So I'll do my regular instructor duties. And then I'd grab my camera. We're doing evolution and, you know, and then I just follow evolutions and just capture it. And so it was great leadership. Every image that I had, it went through our public affairs officer, POs officers, and then over at like two commands of a public affairs office. But they're like, wow, these are really cool and good. And I'm like, well, thank you. You know, to me, it was just like, hey, it's what I do, man. I'm like, it's not like I thought I was a great photographer. I just like, hey, this is how I capture things. And so it turned out to be a really cool thing.
Yeah, you had that eye, man. And a lot of it is, it's the eye and having the talent and understanding the physics and all that stuff that goes into photography, and the talent, like I said, but also on the other side of it is the access too. Right.
Yeah,
so having that access to get those shots of people coming up from underwater or underwater or just all that stuff. You know, one question that I'm going to get in trouble if I don't ask you this question is people are like, OK, this guy put his camera gear through Navy SEAL training. Literally.
Yeah,
what camera and lenses was he using that made it through?
I tell you what, man, when I, you know, as an instructor, you're going through SEAL training and I'm an exterior instructor, but all the most powerful images you're going to get is during Hell Week. I mean, that's, you know, that's the thing that our society knows the most about SEAL training is our Hell Week. And so I packed up the back of our one of our vehicles with all my gear. And I had a Canon 1DX Mark II. I had a Canon 5D Mark III. I had a Canon Mark 5D Mark II, and my Mark II was in my Aquatica watertight housing. So I had, and then my lenses, you know, my go-to lenses was a 24-105. Let's see, 100-400 was another big one that I used. My 200 millimeter 1.2, I call it the White Mamba. You know, it's the Canon 1.2. It's like, that's like literally the holy grail of freaking lenses. And I had that one, my favorite lens. And then I had 50 millimeter lens, 85, 70-200 was another big one I used, 100-300. I mean, I had literally just an arsenal of things. I had CF cards and I had everything. And so, because you need all this, because here you are, like, let's say, for example, hey, they're going to do surf batches today. I'm like, okay, you know, we get them out there, we inspect them, we make them do, you know, squats and sprints and everything. But finally, you know, we finally get out to the ocean. It's like, so I got my wetsuit on, throw it on, have my, it's usually at that one is my Canon 5D Mark II with a 50 millimeter lens or 14 millimeter lens. In the Aquatica housing, and I'm swimming out through the surf. You know, there's like 8 to 10 foot swells coming in. They're getting smashed by the waves. They're going everywhere, and I'm ducking underneath them. And I'm getting my, I got my Aquatica, and as soon as I come up, like I reach the top of a wave, and I just, I got it on fast. I'm like getting shots, and I go back down under. You know, they think they're going to hit me with their paddle. I was like, no, dude, if you hit me with your paddle, then hit me with your paddle. I don't care. I'm going to get this shot. I'm like, you okay, Instructor McBurnett? I'm like, dude, don't you concentrate on me, because you get your ass kicked by this wave that's about ready to knock you out. And then, you know. And so then I'd get back up, and then I'd swim in the shore, and then I'd go back out and do more. And then I'd come back, and hey, they're going to do some berm sprints. So I just take out my top, put my UDT SEAL instructor shirt back on, and then I swap out and then grab my camera. Well, usually that would be my 1DX with a 24-105, and then I'll just like, and actually I had two of them, and then I had my 5D Mark III, my 1DX is at 24-105. This one had like a 14 millimeter on it, and then I'd run behind them, you know, just literally run behind them as they're doing like 3 or 4 miles with the boats on their heads. And I'll just like stop and get shots, run behind them, get shots. So I like two cameras just going back and forth, you know, and go back. And then that would be the day, and then go back, you know, whatever else they're doing, go back at night. But at Hell Week, I went all the way through with them, staying awake with them the whole time, getting shots. And
so you were going through Hell Week literally with multiple like classes going through the event, but you're going through it with them and you had the gear and you had to get the shots. That's got to be emotional.
Yeah, I did class 312 whole hell week with them. Wow. I stayed like, because we have three shifts of instructors, Alpha Bravo Charlie. It's usually 24 instructors from all phases, and plus Advanced Training Command. Plus you got an OIC, your MASH chief, your LCPO. And then I'd go through all of them. I'd sleep a couple hours in the truck, but then I would just go back out. I had like all the lenses and everything in the back of my sleeping bag, and my bivy kit was in the back of the bed. And that's what I would do, because that's how you get the powerful shots. You're going to get the powerful shots at 3 o'clock in the morning when they're like Wednesday morning of Hell Week. I mean, I had shots that the staff and everybody never even dreamed that I would get, like the underwater shots of like them on Wednesday or like in the pool.
Yeah. They're looking at some of those right now. Yeah. I'm looking at some shots.
They're like, how did you get that? I'm like, well,
I was going to ask you that. Like literally I'm looking at this shot. Look at this shot I'm looking at right now. Look, let me put this up. This is a shot I'm looking at right now. You see that one?
A little drown proof in there.
Yeah. Like drown proofing. Yeah.
That's what you got to do. I mean, it's like, it's not the difference between me photographing SEAL training and other photographers, and not to discount whatever photographers do. It's like most photographers will see, and I've seen a lot of pictures of SEAL training, but they're just looking at something and taking a picture of it because they don't really understand what they just think it's cool. But for me, it's like, hey, I've been through this training. I know what it is. I know what these guys are going through. I went through it. I want to give the emotional side. When I went through BUDS, this is the stuff that this is painful. This is very emotional for these guys. And it's like, I know how to capture those shots. In order to capture those shots, you got to be in the shots, in the water with them, in the pool with them, behind the boats. This is the only way you're going to really understand it. And that's how, with the logs and the everything, you got to be right there. And so,
And when the emotion's going to happen, because guy hasn't gone through this before. I've been here a bunch of times. Right about now, he's going to start crying, right?
So,
I can see where to be, right?
It's like, this guy's about ready to quit. Here we go. So I grab my 100, 400, and I stand back because you don't want to interrupt that. That's the big thing. You don't want to be standing in someone's face with a camera while their dream's just been shattered. It's like instinctively I know, because I can see it. If we're doing land portage, they got these 200-pound IBSs on their heads. They're running, and like you can see the guys are going to quit. Okay, it's like, okay, he's about ready to go. And so I'll go off to the truck, grab something sure stuff. Sure as anything, he's at the ambulance. He's doing his little thing. I'm like, okay, I'll zip around 100 or 400 and capture that. And not like I want to capture that. It's like, ooh, dude, I want to watch this guy quit. It's like, no, this is very emotional for him. It's like, I need to look into and see what I can get in his eyes. And it's like, and capture that emotion. And so, but I always did those kind of shots like when they weren't looking. And for a lot of these shots, you know, they never knew I was there, and that's what you want to, because that's Navy SEAL stuff.
I know, before we continue, I have to reconcile something, because all this sounds really tough, right? And really just like, this is just like man stuff, right, that's going on. But something you said earlier, I need to have you clarify this. You said you sold a bunch of comic books in order to get your camera. Is that true? Tell me about that.
Yeah, man. So, for me, I've always been a big, not nerd, but I've always been a fan of comics and movies, and if you look at like the Big Bang Theory, I'm not necessarily Sheldon, but I'm probably more like Wallowitz.
See, that's why we get along.
I love comics. As a matter of fact, it's in your talk. It's like, I'm going to reach over and like, there's my little Wolf Predator mask.
Woo. Oh, look at that.
Yeah. What's up?
That's a Predator mask. I did not expect that to pop out of there.
I know. That's what I do. That's awesome. For me. So that's right on my desk. If you would see my desk right now, you'd probably flip out. I got stuff everywhere. You just can't see it. I mean, even on my wall, it's like, for some reason, I got my computer perfectly placed where you can't see anything. But like, I got Predator mask. I got Soulfire from Michael Turner stuff here. I got Aliens on the board. I'm a big Sideshow Collectibles fan. I'm a big I mean, I remember going when I was in, I was in Bud's training when I went to freaking Comic-Con at San Diego Comic-Con in 96. And it was like $20 to get into the thing. You know, literally, you weren't even in line. You just walked in. You know, you paid up, you got your little name badge, you put your name down, you gave $20, and then you're in. And then here you go. You're like, there's the entire cast of Star Trek minus Leonard Nimoy. There's J. Scott Campbell over there. There's Michael Turner over there. You know, there's Stan Lee over there. You know, there's it's like you just walked along. Oh, and then you saw all the B movies actors out there. You had like Chekhov over there. You had Uhura over here. You had all these comics, and I love that stuff. And that's
great.
You know, that's always been me, and I'm always going to be a kid. You know, but I hated to part with them, but I had a camera to buy.
Yeah, your life goes on, right?
Back to the
book. I wanted to just talk about the shots in here, and I encourage people to go pick up the book, go look at it, because the images really take you into what it's like behind the scenes, and it's exceptionally well done hardcover coffee table book, and the quality is beyond belief. I'm curious. Do the guys that were going through, like I'm looking at, like you said, drown proofing here. Do they know that they're in the book? Did you give them copies of it? Because if I was going through that, I'd need this book. Would have to be in my collection.
Well, you know, I don't know. I hope they do. Yeah. Like I said, you know, back then, that was like 2000 and, you know, end of 2015, 2016. Yeah. A lot of them didn't make it through SEAL training, and I don't know where they are. I have... a couple of them that I know that I keep in touch with, but for the most part, I don't really know. And I'm saying that because, you know, we got a 90% attrition rate. You know, I photograph class 311 all the way to 320, and 90% of those guys are gone. So I look at the book and I know of like one or two guys that made it through, but I don't know where the rest are. And the ones that do made it through, they kind of follow me on Instagram. And every once in a while, a guy will say, "Hey, that's me on page, whatever. And then I'll send them a copy of the print. You know, it's like, hey, here's a high res for you, you know. But for most part, I don't know where those guys went, because we have such a high attrition rate. You know, when they quit or something happens medically, they're gone. And you never, it's like poof. It's like literally Star Trek, you know, poof, they go away. You know, you never see them again. So
yeah.
I know that sounds mean, but that's the truth.
It's true. I mean, the whole thing is like it's designed to be tough, right? And to bring out the best of the best. And you know, I'm looking at one of the little captions under one of the images. It says, "You start to feel your lungs burn because your last breath of air was a minute and a half ago." Right?
That's when you start doing the funky chicken, like. But you got a problem solve underwater. It's like you can concentrate how much your lungs are burned, or you can finish solving the problem. You know, and that's what makes it unique. It's like, hey, man, you know, yeah, your air is gone. You're stressing out right now, but we need to solve the problem. Worry about your air later, you know? So it's kind of like how we do it. But yeah, it's like, you know, it's what it is, you know, and the guys that do reach out to me in the last years have been good. And
so what's next for you? What's next? I know you're going to be working on, you know, you're a public speaker, obviously, you know how to, you know, your way around that circuit. What's next in the, is there another book in you that you're going to tackle another topic? What's on the horizon for like 2022 and beyond?
For me, I'll be honest with you. And we talked about this before offline. You know, I really want to get into photography conferences. You know, like I said, I've last 4 years I've been, you know, talking to, you know, big Fortune 500 companies, motivational speaking, talk about leadership in the SEAL teams and, you know, how to press forward, you know, but this is the first time that I'm very excited about it, because I get to talk about photography for a change, you know, and that's like really, really cool for me. And it's like, I have such a unique story. I'm pretty much the only Navy SEAL to ever photograph for SEAL training. The path that I went is like, it's very, very, very unique. Like I'm a unicorn. I'm the one that's done it. And I'd love to share the story and talk about photography with other people, you know, in conferences and do that. So that's my next challenge that I'd really like to do. I just, you know, when everything opens up again, which it will, I mean, it's going to happen to get out there. is to share my story with people and just let them know if you're in photography world, you're on a road and it's not going to be smooth. You know, yeah. It's going to be a road that is going to be bumpy. It's going to have detours. It's going to be one ways. There's going to be potholes. And then and you're constantly going to be on that when you're doing photography. But if you truly love what it is, you may have to accept the fact that you may not go anywhere with it. But if you stick to it, okay, and believe in who you are and what you love doing about it artistically, then maybe something will come out of it and you never know. But if you keep pushing forward, eventually it will. And that's what happened to me. It's like, you know, this is 2007, you know, and when I first picked up a camera and finally started learning, and then finally 2000 and, you know, 19, when I finally put it all together and created this book. So that's a huge gap of time where I just stuck with it. And I had a 5-year gap because I went out back deploying again with SEAL Team 3. But, you know, you never know, but you just, all of a sudden it's like, you know, bam, there it is. Made it, you know, and I did it right. You know, that's to make sure. It's like, if you're going to do something, when that opportunity is given to you, no matter what it is, treat it like it's your last thing you're ever going to do in the photography world. That's why it's like, I may never get anything like this again. I'll make sure, God damn it, I do it freaking right, you know, and then, and get it out there the best you can, because any like books or photography that's out there, that's you, that's representative of you. You know, it's not, oh, just an image. It's like, no, this is you. You took this image. This is everything about you. So you better, whatever you have out there, you better be representing you in the best light that it could. And then that's what Uncommon Grit is. This is literally the best I can do. If someone asked me, could you do better? And the answer would be absolutely not. That's, yeah, you know, yeah. Absolutely not, man. That's it. That's everything that I learned it all in one book. So when you say, is there another one? No, I'm exhausted. I would love to tell the journey though. You know, and I think people be fascinated with the journey.
You did fantastic, man. The book is amazing. The book, I'm donating to the book cause because I have to buy at least 2 more of these books to send to family members. Because these are fantastic, man. So this is
good. Well, you know, Frederick, you can just call me. I can send them to you, right?
No, I don't want you to send them to me. You deserve to be paid for this. So pleasure to purchase the book. So.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I really do. And I'm glad I'm talking to you. I truly am, you know, and to be able to talk about photography for the first time. I mean, you know, I've never talked to anybody about photography, you know, ever. And so to be out there and talk to people, it's very, very exciting for me. I know it sounds kind of weird, but it is. It's like, I love talking to it, you know? So I'm internally grateful and I'm honored. So thank you.
No, I'm honored. Thank you. It's a mutual admiration society because I'm honored to be having a conversation and to be connected to someone who puts together such an impressive body of work. This is awesome, man. So this is a great interview. This is perfect. Thank you for doing this. Any parting thoughts that you want to throw out to photographers? I know, obviously, put everything that you have into everything you do.
Yeah.
Of course. Any parting shots from the Navy SEAL photographer to the legions of photographers?
You know, if I can say one thing is master the basics. And that's true in the SEAL teams. Everything we do is like, hey, when you master the basics, when times of stress are going to start coming at you, you have to be instinctive of what you do, especially when it's like shoot, movie, communicating, getting magazines out, you know, get up fire, you know, do everything you do. But in the photographer, it's the same thing. It's like master the basics of photography, master light, master speed, master the sensitivity, know the exposures. And then once you master that, then whenever that shot comes, you'll be ready for it. And that's what I kind of, the mantra there is like, you know, master those basics, you know, take care of your gear. It takes care of you is another one. Don't get too emotionally involved in the scenario that's there. You know, there's just so many things out there, that lessons that I've learned as a SEAL that translated over, to photography, you know, take care of your gear because it's taking care of you, you know, just same thing when we got body armor, everything else on, it's like, hey, our gear, you know, it's keeping us alive. So you better make sure it's functioning when you need it. And the same thing, it can translate over to your camera, which I did. It's like, hey, I want to take the shot and make sure everything is working pristine and perfectly, you know, and move forward with that. So, you know, just, you know, it's your livelihood if you're making a living at it. But in any other ways, just like, hey, man, you know, they don't take it lightly. And just remember who you are. Remember why you got into photography. You know, you got into photography for a purpose. And so if that purpose is to make a lot of money at it, well, then keep on that path. If you just wanted it because you loved to express yourself artistically, remember who you are. Remember that purpose. You know, and if as long as you stick to who you are, then eventually it'll come. If it doesn't, then you got to do your passions. You know, and for me, it's like, you know, I never thought in a million years that I'd make a book. I never thought in a million years I'd do anything with photography, you know, but I just know that I enjoyed doing it. And I wanted to be the best at my ability as being a photographer. And then when that opportunity came, I was ready for it. And then, and then we produced it. So, those are your takeaways, you know?
Love it. Love it, man. Thank you. Thanks again for coming on. If folks want to pick up this book, it's available wherever fine books are sold, including Amazon.com, right? So yeah, people can go grab it. Yeah, that's where I'm ordering my two from. So people can grab it. People can grab it from wherever they can. And I'll put links to the book in the body of this episode and in the YouTube video for folks just to click over to it and grab it. But man, thank you. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate you.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. Thank you so much. And of course, people can follow me on my my Instagram. It's mcteams3842. And then if they want to follow me, just check out, see what I'm doing, go to my website, dmcburnett.com. You know, so hopefully I see everybody out there. I'll be out there with Frederick. It's like, man, Frederick will be out there.
That's right. We got to do some missions together, man. That's going to happen sometime this year or next year, probably next year.
So. Yeah, we'll be out there sliming around Photoshop World in Vegas.
There you go. That's it. We may, that, you know what? That would be cool to do a SEAL training photo walk.
that would be awesome. Yeah, right? I'm telling you, you know, it's endless what we can do out there. It really is. It'd be a lot of fun. I mean, that's something that you and I can definitely collaborate on. I'm telling you.
Absolutely. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. That has to happen. I mean, come on. Why not? I mean, the universe is telling us to do it.
Well, as long as you're with me, at least I have adult supervision.
I was going to say that. We're in trouble.
You're the adult. I said it first.
You take all the responsibility. So you have the SEAL training. So that means if we get into a sticky situation, you're going to be the one I point to. Like, we can't go over there. Go see that guy. Go see.
All right, time to go bail out Frederick. Here we go.
Exactly. Here we go again. Cool, man. All right, we'll leave it right there, man. Take care. You have a good weekend, rest of your week, and be safe out there.
Thank you very much. Honored to be part of the show. You know, honored to be your friend. And thank you so much for everything you're doing and helping me guide my path in the post photography world. So thank you so much.
This is Twit.